Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland. Continuing. That's okay. Yeah, good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland. Continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, which is just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. We meet on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. And we issue you all a warm welcome to come along. We also meet on Wednesday evening for our prayer meeting at 7:30 p.m. Again, we extend a warm welcome to you. And we're here this afternoon to,
it's good to see you, Paul,
highlight the Christian gospel with you. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his disciples a mandate and a commission to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to do. You can't make disciples unless you tell people about the one that they are to follow. If you're asking someone to believe upon a person, they must know something about that person in order to believe. And that's what we want to do this afternoon. We want to tell you about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus does exist. He does. It's foolish to deny him. The world has been changed by the coming of the Lord Jesus, as I said earlier. And it's ridiculous to think for one moment that there was no person called the Lord Jesus Christ. The world, he has changed the world by his coming. And he will change the world again when he comes the second time. But as you're passing by here, maybe you don't have much time for this. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, religion's for old people. And I'll consider it maybe when I get old. And maybe now you're taken up with the things of this world. All the lawful and legitimate things of this world are taking up your time and your efforts and your energy. And you don't have any time or thought for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I have some sobering words here from Christ for you this afternoon. In his gospel ministry, he said this in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And surely the Lord Jesus there is reminding us in these two short verses that every one of us has something that is vitally important and vitally precious. We cannot put a value upon our soul. He says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? What will it profit you if you can put everything this world can give you into your suitcase or into your home or into your life? What will it matter if you amass billions of pounds, if you become a great property magnate or whatever? What will it matter if you can get all the applause and all the popularity that this world can give you? What good will it do you? It might bring some kind of short-term pleasure to you, but like everyone else, friends, we're all mortal. And one day, we will leave everything behind. Everything that you've strived for. All your money, all your houses, all the pleasure, all the gods that you serve. Whatever it is, whatever's taking up your time and attention, whatever it is, you will leave it all behind. You will not take it with you to that world that is to come. And therefore, surely the words of the Lord Jesus are very apt and very appropriate. For what shall it profit of a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. You have a soul. Every one of us has a soul. The soul is the personality. And at the moment, our souls are housed in our bodies. We are body and soul. We are different from the animals. They are simply animal flesh and nothing more. We have something that is unique. And what is it? It's a soul. And what's so unique about the soul? The soul shall live forever. It will live forever and ever. There will be no end to our souls. The body, yes, friends, it will die. At death, the body and soul shall be separated. The body shall become dust, but the soul shall return to God. And there, what will happen? God will judge the soul. He will judge that individual. He will judge that personality. And what will mark out that judgment above all will be, what have we done with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? What have we done with him? What think ye of Christ, the Bible says. Now for the Christian looks upon the Lord Jesus as the Son of God and as the only God-appointed Savior of mankind. He's the one who has come from heaven. He's the one who took upon himself our form and nature and became just like us. And he did that in order that he might be able to suffer. As the Son of God, had he remained simply the Son of God, he could never suffer. It would be impossible for him. God cannot suffer. But that's why he took our nature. That's why he became like us, in order that he might be able to suffer and to die. And that was in order that he might pay the price and pay the penalty of our sin. You see, friends, we don't like this truth. We try to shy away from it. But the Bible tells us, not to flatter us, but to warn us and to inform us that we are sinners. For there is no difference, Romans 3:23 says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, as we walk by here, or as we sit down, or as we're in our offices, or whatever, it matters not. We're all sinners in the sight of God. And therefore, because God is holy, pure, and undefiled, he cannot look upon sinners. He cannot tolerate sin. The Bible says of God, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. That's the God of the Bible. But that's the God who has done something about our plight. What is our plight? Our plight is the problem of our sin. But God has done something about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You see, God had an answer to man's greatest problem. And that answer was Jesus Christ. To send him that he might suffer and die. That he would fulfill the law of God. That he would obey it perfectly. And that he would pay the penalty. And that by believing upon Jesus, the believer receives forgiveness. The believer receives the righteousness of Christ. That's why the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, ask yourself this question this afternoon. Do you have peace with God? It's something maybe you don't think about. It's something maybe that you cannot identify or articulate. But I tell you, because I know what it's like, My conscience would trouble me on occasions. Why would my conscience trouble me? My conscience would trouble me because I knew I was not right with God. And because I wasn't right with God, my conscience was troubled. I didn't know what it was. Only later did I realize the problem was my sin. It was like a burden that I was carrying around with me. And sometimes it would flare up and it would make itself known. And I hadn't got peace with God. And because I knew the gospel, I knew that if I died without my Savior, I would perish. But what happened? I came to faith and I believed upon the Lord Jesus. I received Him as my Lord and Savior. And then what happened? Peace with God. The conscience was peaceful. Therefore, as the Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this peace that Jesus has secured for us by His life and death and resurrection is available to all who will come to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what we call a gospel invitation. And it was issued not by a preacher and not by the church. It was issued by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This offer of salvation is available. What is it? What is salvation? Salvation is to be delivered. It is to be set free. What has Christ set you free from? Christ, when you come to Him, He sets you free from the guilt of sin. That's what I was talking about. When you don't have peace with God, when you come to Christ, you have that peace. The guilt of your sin has been rolled away. Your sins have been forgiven. That's what's in the gospel. But more than that, friends, salvation involves not just free from the guilt of sin, it also gives to us freedom from the power of sin. You see, sin has a power over you. This is maybe difficult for us to explain or to expand or to understand, but sin is a terrible, powerful thing. So that outside of Christ, all we do is sin. Sin has a terrible effect upon us. But when we come to Christ, He gives us power. The power of sin is broken. And we have the power of a new life. That's why Jesus said on one occasion, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." This is what Christianity is all about. It's about life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. Life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, or it says in God's Word, I should say, in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What are we told in that verse? Well, we're told distinctly that the moment you believe upon the Lord Jesus, you have eternal life. Now, clearly, to believe is simply something more than to believe in an academic or an intellectual sense. It's more than that. It's not just believing some facts and figures and data and details. The devil believes that kind of things. Indeed, the devil is a wonderful theologian. The devil knows his Bible better than the minister does. But he'll never be saved. He cannot be saved. Yet he does believe in a certain sense. To believe in a saving sense means to commit one's life to the Lord Jesus. It means to follow the Lord Jesus. It means to receive him. It means to believe that he is God's only begotten Son, that he is the only God appointed mediator and Savior, that he is the one who has come from heaven, and he is the one who's coming back, and he is the one who suffered and died on Calvary's tree and paid the price of mankind's sin. That's what it means to believe upon him. It means to trust upon him and to rely upon him. And this is why we're here this afternoon, that you might know something about this person and that you might avail yourself of the salvation that's freely offered in the Lord Jesus Christ through him. You might think that you're such a great sinner that Jesus would never look near you. You might think that. That's not the case at all. He says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's why we're out in the street. That's why we bring the gospel to everyone. Because we're all sinners in the sight of God. We all need to be saved. And Jesus Christ will save if you will but come to him. What does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus? It means to repent. The Lord Jesus began his public ministry by saying to the people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn away from our sin, to turn away from our present life and walk in a different direction. It means to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to believe upon him. And that's what we must do. That's what required of us. That's why we preach. That's why we teach about Christ and bring him to your attention this afternoon, that you might follow him, that you might become his disciple, that you would take up the cross and follow him, whom to know is life everlasting. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, which is just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. Please feel free to come along. We meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day, at 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. in the early evening. And also we meet on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And we do wish to extend a warm welcome to you all. There's a verse in Proverbs that I'd like to draw your attention to. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are many people are telling us about their gods, their religions. But Christianity is the only true religion. We know that because Christ, the Son of God, is the one who alone has come down from heaven. No other head of a religion has ever come down from heaven. Only the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. And there are many people who are following many, many religions. even in Glasgow itself, there'll be lots and lots of people, and they're following lots and lots of religions. And that way that they are following might seem right unto them. It might seem right unto them because it suits their lifestyle, or it suits their upbringing, or it just pleases them, or whatever. Well, this verse talks about that. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's a very sobering verse, because it reminds us that all false religion will end up in disappointment. It will end up in being lost forever and ever. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man goeth to the Father but by me." That's what he said. And if we're following any other religion, we will be disappointed. We will end up disappointed in that great day. And there will be a great day, friends. Many people don't like to consider that there will be a terrible day one day. That day will be the day of judgment. That day will be when Christ returns. And on that time and on that day, he will sit on his great white throne. And all the peoples that ever lived shall be before him. And they will give account. They will give account of their deeds. The Apostle Paul says this regarding that day: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." This is what motivated the Apostle Paul to suffer persecution and beatings, to suffer shipwreck and all kinds of trials and tribulations, in order that he might bring the gospel to people, knowing that one day every one of us, whoever lived, will stand before Christ and will give account of our lives. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Are you ready for that day? It will be a solemn day. It will be a day when no lawyer can help you, no Queen's Counsel. There'll only be one judge. He will judge infallibly. He will be able to recall your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And on that day, friend, you need to be found in Christ. You need to have a Savior. And that's why we want to tell you about Jesus Christ, because he is the Savior. He's the one who came from heaven. And as I said earlier, he will be the judge. But today we proclaim him as the Savior. Yes, he's the Savior today. Why is it so? Because this is the day of grace. This is the day of grace. This is when God is offering to us a full and free salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained."
Hallelujah!
"Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The very fact that Jesus Christ rose victorious over the grave assures us that there is life after death. And this one who rose triumphantly over the grave will one day judge the world. He'll judge you. He'll judge me. How will you fare? That day, friends, you need a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus Christ. Therefore, you must come to Him. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now's the time to get right with God. Now's the time to seek Him while He may be found. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. That's a promise. A promise in the Word of God to seek the Lord, and those who seek Him will find Him, and He will have mercy upon them, and He will pardon their sins. We're going to draw our time to a close, but it's been good to be here this afternoon. We're from Partick Free Church continuing, and we extend a warm welcome to you. We meet on the Lord's Day, 11 a.m., and again 6:30 p.m., and Wednesday at 7:30. And may the Lord be pleased to bless His Word to you this afternoon.